Yesterday, in response to a question, I addressed the Gospel of Judas. But this document, this Coptic document, which is getting so much play, probably warrants further discussion. It was front page news in USA Today, day before yesterday, and the headline read, "Long Lost Gospel of Judas Casts Traitor in New Light." Was also this past Sunday the subject of a National Geographic TV special, and rather than being a villain, what these messages which we're hearing through the news media are portraying is that Judas is a hero. And again, they're basing this on this new Gospel of Thomas find, or excuse me, this new Gospel of Judas. That's an easy mistake to make because they're both Gnostic Gospels. But the manuscript, the Gospel of Judas manuscript, actually claims that Jesus revealed secret knowledge to Judas and instructed Judas to arrange his arrest. And a key passage in the Gospel of Judas reflects the notion that the body is merely the prison house of the soul. So in this idea, you have Judas becoming the greatest of all the disciples because he arranged the circumstances through which Jesus could shed his evil flesh and become a truly spiritual being. Now, not only is the Gospel of Judas being used to call into question the reliability of the Gospels, but believe it or not, it is being cleverly positioned to raise the specter of anti-Semitism. In fact, Jesus Seminar Fellows are suggesting that the gospel accounts of Judas as the betrayer might well have been invented as an anti-Semitic slur, and as such is partially to blame for the hostilities that have persisted between Christians and Jews down through the centuries. Those scholars see Judas as the typical or the quintessential Jew because in their view, Judas means Jew. That, of course, is just plain silly. The name Judas was a common Jewish name. There are several men named Judas in the Gospels, one of whom was a truly devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, while the other, of course, wrote the New Testament epistle titled Jude. The first century Gospel writers would hardly have taken the name Judas to signify Judaism, and far from being anti-Semitic, the New Testament simply records the outworking of redemptive history as foretold by the Jewish prophets who prophesied that one of Christ's companions would betray him. There simply was no motive whatsoever to fabricate a fictional Judas to represent the quote-unquote quintessential Jew. As is obvious to any unbiased person, the New Testament is anything but anti-Semitic. Jesus, the 12 apostles, the Apostle Paul, they were all Jewish. In fact, the Christians today are always proudly referring to their heritage as the Judeo-Christian tradition. In fact, look at the book of Hebrews. Jews from David to Daniel are inducted into the Faith Hall of Fame. In fact, Christians grow up with Jews from Moses to Mary to Esther as their heroes. The Bible goes to great lengths to underscore the fact that when it comes to faith in Christ, there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, and Jewish people throughout the generations are no more responsible from a biblical perspective for Christ's death than anyone else. Truly, those who are advancing these kinds of theories in the name of selling and sensationalism owe the world an apology for fueling Jewish-Christian misunderstanding and mistrust by advancing these outrageous notions that the story of Judas was fabricated because Judas meant Jew. This is crazy. In any case, the Gospel of Judas is much to do about nothing more than a Coptic manuscript written centuries after the completion of the canon of Scripture. It's deeply influenced by the Gnosticism, which arose in the second century and was perpetuated in the following centuries, characterized by this dualism in which matter or flesh was considered evil and only spirit is good. Of course, in sharp contrast, Christianity is far from Platonic. The centerpiece of the Christian faith is found in the fleshly, physical resurrection, which was codified by the Apostle Paul in a creedal statement that can be traced all the way back to the formative stages of the early Christian church. In fact, you want to take some time as a believer to go back and read that creedal statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through approximately 7 or 8. Incredibly, scholars of all stripes agree that that creed, codified in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, can be dated to within 3 to 8 years of the crucifixion event itself. Not only is it early, but it's unambiguous, and it's rooted in the testimony of eyewitnesses who were willing to die for the authenticity of their testimonies. Wonder if these Jesus seminar fellows would do the same for their fabrications. While it's conceivable that the disciples would have faced torture and vilification and even cruel death for what they fervently believed to be true, it's inconceivable that they would have been willing to die for what they knew to be a lie. If their testimony wasn't true, there was no possible motive for their supposed fabrications. So look, if you're a believer, don't be alarmed by these kinds of sensationalistic stories. USA Today ought to be more responsible in how they positioned their story. There was a lot of positioning going on. And of course, National Geographic was an abomination. Just sheer selling and sensationalism. You know, in the USA Today article, what I noted was that there was only a marginal recognition of the fact that this is a late 3rd or 4th century find. There's no real indication that this puts the Gospel of Judas on a completely different footing than the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of Luke or the Gospel of John or, for that matter, the Gospel of Matthew. These Gospels are an entirely different category, and it isn't that they were suddenly decided by Christians because they were patriarchal or they had a particular point of view that they wanted to espouse. It isn't that these Gospels are just other streams that all have their opinions. No, we can demonstrate that these Gospels are rooted in history and evidence. And that's the whole point that we as Christians ought to be familiar with. The Christian faith is historic and evidential. We're never asked to accept the Gospels on blind faith, but always on faith and evidence.